Before I get into today's material, Suzanne, Paul, anything that you would like to discuss?
So now's the time of year whenever headquarters starts pushing for us to write our business plans for the following year. And so I started mine for 2021, and you know, it's kind of a silly question maybe, but you know, I'm looking at, you know, what the our numbers that we're probably going to end up with this year, and I'm trying to forecast out, you know, usually I've always seen in the past whenever I was with Edward Jones anywhere between a 10 to 20% growth on an annual basis. Now I'm going to go, you know, with a 15% in growth in revenues, but as far as new clients, I'm looking for my average, which is $1 million average, and then I'm also lowering the amount of clients I'm trying to bring in. I used to try to bring in 12 to say 20 new clients a year, so I'm going to bring in, I'm saying 6. With the average of $1 million or more. Of course, right away, somebody called me. I submitted that the other day, and somebody called me and said, I don't think this is accurate. Do you mean this? I said, yeah, I think I mean that, yeah. Do you agree? That's a good, you know, it's not a great year, but it's for year two at a new company, I think that's solid, don't you think?
You're looking at a 15% increase. That's what you put in your plan.
Yeah.
All right. Now, do they give you a format that they're looking for? Are they wanting you to do? Are they giving you the metrics that they want to see?
I don't think they're, no, not specifically, but what they're doing is, I guess they're monitoring it because they have somebody in the region that calls you, I guess, if you don't do it the way they want you to do it. And so, you know, I spent 45 minutes on the phone with him the other day, and I was trying to explain to him Supernova, and it's foreign, you know, it's foreign to them. They don't know anything about it. They don't care. They think we should have thousands of clients. So, I don't know.
Well, I'm not here to I'm not here to judge Ameriprise's what they want you to bring in. It's different from what we teach. Because we think that works for everybody. So are they saying that 15% is too much or not enough?
No, the question that they're questioning was 6 clients with the average of $1 million each, and that's where that's the part that I'm trying to stick to. Is, you know, if I could bring 6 new relationships and each one have at least $1 million, that sticks to, you know, the values that you and I have discussed and also the business model that we've discussed. So,
okay, are you
now,
buying?
So my question to you is that, do you think that that's, you know, do you think that that's a good goal?
It seems a little low to me, but let's.
Seems low to you?
Yeah, you're talking about 6 new $1 million plus relationships.
Yes.
For the year.
Yes.
That seems really low to me. Now, I'm getting ready to send you something. Let me get it here. Business plan. Okay, are you by a computer?
Yeah, I'm right in front of mine.
Okay, I'm going to send it to you and copy Suzanne so everybody's. I live out in the country and I'm off a satellite, so it may take a second to get there.
Okay.
Okay, I want you to open that.
All right, when it opens, when it arrives, I'll open it.
Okay, let me get it in front of me. It's left my outbox or sent it's so you should be getting it. Nothing yet?
Not yet.
It left my outbox at 10:05. You got it?
Looking for it. No, I don't see it yet.
In different places.
Rob Schaefer. Okay, here we go. We got it.
Okay, now let me get it in front of me. Okay, this is serious stuff here. And I say it's serious because you got having a plan is important. Here's it's firsthand experience. When I was in production, and we're going back a little, my boss, the man who hired me, would come in and say, Rob, I need a business plan. And I was a little full of myself early in my life, and I said, Ellis, my plan is to come in, work hard, and that do as much business as I can. And because I was doing okay, he let me slide with that. And that's not doing me a favor. I tried that on Rob Knapp when I worked for him at Merrill, and he didn't let me slide. And I appreciate that. So my point in telling you that story is that this is more than just an exercise in getting the headquarters off your back. This is a real way to look at your practice. So we're not going to be able to go through all of this today, but what I want you to do, well, I can't get the darn thing to come up. Okay. What I want you to do is spend a little time thinking about this. So let's drive it from the how much production you want to add. So up 15% would be what percentage, where would that take you? You want to, 15% growth is what in dollars?
All right, hold on one second here. Cost $50,000.
Okay, so in this blank, put $50,000.
All right.
Okay, now velocity. What when you bring in new assets? What is that velocity usually? Is it a percentage? Is it half a percent? Is it 125 basis points? What is the velocity of these assets?
I'm sorry, Rob, I don't understand the question. What do you mean? Like, what does that mean? What do you mean the velocity?
Okay, if you've got is 1% on new assets, is that an unreasonable number? That if you bring in this example, here, I've got growth of $250,000. That's what I want. So now I got to know how, what velocity is, what the return on I don't know what you all call it, but it's, you know, if you charge 1%, is it 1.5%? Roughly, what is your return on assets?
1.25.
Okay, so I want you to put 1.25 in that next box.
Okay.
Okay, now, so divide that 1.25 by divide that production, that $15,000, or 15%, which you said was $50,000. I'm going to have to print this. I'm trying to remember it. I got the world's noisiest printer. All right. So divide $15,000 by 1.25%.
$40,000, which I'm guessing that means it should be $4 million.
It should be $1 million, yeah. So that's the number of assets you need to bring in at the velocity of 1.25 to get the $50,000. Now I've got this in front of me, so $50,000. Divided by 1.25. That's $4 million.
Right.
Okay. Okay. Your minimum.
Okay.
What's your minimum?
$1 million.
See, I'm looking in my file just to make sure we're talking about the same thing. Minimum, you told me your minimum is 500.
Well, that's the absolute minimum. We said the target minimum was $1 million, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Let's do it with your minimum though. Your minimum is 500. Okay.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. So your minimum is 500,000. So how many clients number of new relationships do you need with the assumptions we've made so far to achieve $50,000?
Eight.
Exactly right. Okay. Now, what's your close rate? If you get in front of someone, I'm not. You get in front of someone, and you get to make a pitch. You know, this is just not a passing in the hall. You've got an appointment. You get a referral, whatever. What's your close rate when you get in front of a prospective client?
I would say 9 out of 10. I mean, 90%.
Okay. So that's 0.9. Divide 0.9 into 8. What's the number?
8.888.
So we're going to call that 9. Okay. So,
yeah.
Again, I'm using your numbers, and you may want to think about this. And if somebody at headquarters doesn't understand, I mean, this is so, it's so simple, but it lays it out what you need to do. You can't control outcomes. Do you agree?
Yeah, most definitely not.
What can you control?
Activity.
Activity. You control activity. So, if you want to add $50,000 in production and your velocity is 1.25, you're going to need another $4 million in assets. Your minimum is 50, is 500. That means you need 8 new relationships. Now, you know, some are going to be more, some are going to be more, so you probably don't even need that. Your close rate's 90%. That means you need 9 appointments. 9 appointments. You can't argue with the math. It might not work out exactly that way, but you can't argue with the math. Agreed?
Agreed.
So what you see down here, and we've covered some of this stuff. We're going to cover more today. You say, okay, how many VIPSA, how many appointments can I get through VIPSA? You know, if you went through your whole practice, you know, is it reasonable? Now, what we're trying to do is we're trying to get to 9 here. As you see in what I've written, this person needs 37 appointments. So here's how they were going to get them. So is it reasonable to think that you could get one VIPSA referral a month? Is it reasonable? Is it does that sound outlandish?
No, I think it. How about half that? How about 6?
This is your exercise. So that's 6. Now, it's hard to give me answers on the next things because we haven't gotten to that yet. But do you see my point? I mean, if just on niche expansion, if you've got 3 at a niche expansion, which is really simple, what we're going to talk about today, now you're at 9. So now that you see the thought process, that sounds like you're messing with them. You know, if you want to do 50,000, and your velocity is 1.25, you need $4 million. How am I going to get them? Well,
all right.
I don't know if this is helpful to you.
I've seen this. Yeah, it's helpful. I used to see this before. Let me ask you a question. You think I'm short selling myself?
Yes.
All right. So.
Well, you told me that when you were at it was Jones, right?
Yeah.
That your last year there, you did what?
I like 560. 560.
Yeah. So 50K to your production. Assume you're what you what. Just make a guess about what you're going to do this year.
By the end of this year.
Yeah.
I brought in 4, and I lost 2. So I ended up at 2.
$2 million. Okay, I'm talking about production. What do you think you're going to do by the end of the year?
Oh, 310.
Okay, so what's that 50 to that? Now we're at 360. You were doing 550 before you left Jones. You asked me a question. Do I think you're shorting yourself? All I'm doing is looking at what you were doing before making the move, and the fact that you were adding 50, I'm not saying it's easy, but I'm saying the process is simple. It's all about appointments. You can't control. That's what I would say to anybody in headquarters who said, "Well, you know, does this seem like too much or whatever?" And you say, "Well, I can't control outcomes, but I can sure control my activity." And this is what I think this is what I think is reasonable.
Well, what do you think in terms of, I mean, you know, and I'm just asking you because I'm kind of at a loss because I feel like last year and this year, you know, every time I wrote a goal down, I couldn't achieve it for one reason or another. So, you know, I'm trying to figure out what do you think. You know, what do you think is realistic? What do you think I should? What should I be targeting?
Do you think 9 appointments is realistic?
Yes.
Okay. I'm not trying to be a smart aleck here.
I know you're not. I'm not. Neither am I.
I know.
I'm just not sure. Like what's you know.
Well, I you asked me if it's realistic. Yes, I think it's realistic. Again, if you can't control outcomes. I mean, who would have thought 2020 was going a year ago was going to be what it's been. You left Jones where you were successful, correct?
Yes.
You came to Ameriprise into a team that didn't function as you thought it was going to function, correct?
Correct.
Now you're moving. You've moved your office. This has been a difficult year or process for you.
Yes.
If you were still at Jones,
but I'm back in familiar territory where I'm working directly. I'm in a model that I'm very familiar with,
and you say great things about Suzanne. So you got good support.
Yes, I do.
I think you can have. Here's what I think is just to make it clear. I think you can have VIP. I think you can have one VIPSA conversation a month. One VIPSA referral. I think is doable. The niche expansion. Again, we'll talk about that in a second. You know, that's easy to get another 12. The centers of influence. Getting five or six of those is not unreasonable. So, I don't see. I bet you had, how many appointments do you think you had this year? Probably more than nine, right?
Yeah, probably like 12, maybe 15.
Yeah. So, going by our metrics here, 15 to help you to give you 100,000.
The issue, if I invoke the minimum of the new clients I made this year, a lot of them were referrals, and several of them were children of clients, and so they didn't have the assets that I was, that I'm looking for. You know, they were all 100,000. You know, one brought in inherited a trust, and it was like, 800,000. So, it's kind of all over the road. Lost some clients because of COVID. So that was unexpected. So,
why did you lose? You mean the clients died?
Yeah, they died, and then the assets went to relatives or,
out of
the brand. So that was kind of unexpected. But
$1 million account with four kids. The $1 million dies. That's four $250,000 accounts. It's not quite the same. Will this help? This makes it pretty clear to me that you, if 15% for you is not a stretch. I don't know which way the market's going to go. I don't know what's going to happen with COVID. I don't know what's going to happen with the election. I can't control that stuff. All I can do is keep my head down and look for people who need my help.
Yeah, you showing me this business plan clarifies what we're trying to achieve, at least, and then I think it makes it a lot easier for me to visualize, what's realistic and what's not.
Yeah,
I would say... I was trying to grow in my prime, my best years. The first couple of years, you don't grow as fast, but I would say once I hit my stride, I was growing by $100,000 a year. So, yeah. I'd like to get back to that. I just don't, I'm now at a point where it's like, I don't know what's possible here in terms of, that kind of growth. I don't see anybody growing the way I used to grow at Jones here. People here seem to grow by acquiring assets from other older advisors. They don't seem to focus on organic growth the way that Jones did. So,
I like what Jones required you to do before you got your got into production, making you go out and make all those calls.
We had a knock on doors. I had a knock on 600 doors to be able to go back and graduate.
I know. So I think that's hard. I think that's really hard. Asking, just, you know, starting referral conversations with people who know you, like you, and trust you seems a lot easier to me.
Yeah. Bibles or politics? That was the number one question. Are you here selling Bibles or are you a politician? That's what people would ask, yeah. So, but yeah, I mean, they don't have the same support here for that kind of organic growth. It's all, you know, it seems like it's more difficult to get that kind of support. It seems like it's all, I don't know, it's not, they don't have the infrastructure. So,
well,
I got to get back to my roots. And, you know, I was working in a group with a bunch of people that acquired their businesses. None of them were ever knocked on any door. The main guy never even cold called anybody. So it was kind of like a, you know, it's a completely different feeling. But I mean, I like these numbers. I just don't know. You know, I guess I am, after I look at these numbers, I realize I guess I am selling myself short. It should be, you know, we should go for a grand slam and get back on pace with $100,000 a year growth a year and forget about this small numbers stuff. I mean, I'm so tired of not growing, you know?
Well,
so, okay.
We went over this, a little of this last week about, you know, we're going over those questions you ask about your best clients. Where'd you get them? How long have you had them? These people are with you. You've got some people who are with you now who are with at Jones, right?
Yeah, they came over, and a lot of them I got through referrals from accountants. That was another thing that I haven't done at all. I haven't done a thing with Center of Influences.
Okay. Are we agreed that you can now massage these numbers, starting with how much you want to get, how much production you want to add?
Yeah, I appreciate this. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Now, did you have any VIPSA conversations since we talked
week?
Last? Yes.
I had three.
You had three opportunities and went through the VIPSA conversation with each one of them.
Yeah, it's funny, like, there's a point where clients just kind of freeze, and I could tell they're thinking about it. They haven't spit out anything yet, but they're at least thinking about it. So, I agree with you. It does work. It hasn't produced anything yet, but I think it's going to.
Yeah, you got to start, it's like a funnel, Paul. You keep throwing things in at the top, that's prospecting, and then you put your hands underneath the bottom of the funnel and nothing comes out. And you just keep throwing things in there. We're all looking for immediate gratification. So you keep throwing things in there, and all of a sudden, stuff starts falling out the bottom of the funnel. It's not from activity from today. It's from activity over a period of time. So there's a lead time here. So the work you did with the three VIPSA conversations this week, gonna pay. They could pay dividends down the way. Now, going back, could you go to your records? These people, three people you had the VIPSA conversation with, and see that you had that conversation. What the date was, what the result was. You know what I'm talking about here. Are you tracking these things? So you can't have a VIPSA conversation every time you meet a client with a client. So you got to track this stuff, or you could go back a month from now. As you know, Ms. Jones, first part of September, we had a conversation about people who might be able to use my services. You said you were going to think about it. Anything come to mind? So you got to track this stuff so you don't. So you follow up on it, and you don't wear people out unintentionally. All right?
Yeah, I did not do a good job tracking it.
Okay, you got to do that, Paul. You track production. You've got to track. This is how you get the appointments. Okay. Will you go back and log those three things in, those three bits of conversations?
Yeah, I can do it. Sure, yeah.
Okay. Let's talk about niche expansion. Give me a niche in your practice. It can be driven by the location. It can be driven by, you know, town. It can be driven by occupation. Give me one niche in your practice.
I would say executives is a niche.
Okay. How many executives do you think you have, roughly?
Twenty or
30? Wow. Terrific. Okay. Here's somebody to be a niche. For you to do, we call this niche expansion. You have to have a reason that you like dealing with those people. Can you give me three reasons that you like dealing with executives?
Well, number one is they're used to delegating. They're used to working with groups of people and delegating things to different people, as opposed to business owners, who a lot of times turn out to be more controlling. They don't want to give up control of this side of things.
Okay. I need three reasons you like dealing with executives.
That's one.
That's one.
So number two is they're usually more polished and more cognizant of the world around us and up to date with things. I don't have to spell it out and constantly hold their hands.
Okay. How would you put that into just a short bullet, a couple of words?
How about just current? Just call them current. They're current.
Stay current.
Stay current. Sophisticated? I don't know. Yeah. Sophisticated could be it, yeah.
Okay. To save a little time, you could put in there, can make decisions, have no trouble making decisions.
Decisive, let's see what else.
Yeah, that's even better. Decisive. I can't spell decisive, but I'll say it. Understand risk.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm making that up. I'm in the interest of time. This might not be used. So the three I'm going to use are delegating, have no trouble, are decisive, and understand risk. So here's how it goes. Give me the first name of one of your executives.
Mark.
Okay. It goes like this. Mark, you have a minute to give me some advice. All right. Well, you talk, advice was part of VIPSA, as you remember. It's just a little tag on to, it's very similar to VIPSA. Mark, do you have a minute to give me some advice? Mark says, because he knows you, likes you, and trusts you, sure, I'd be happy to do that, Paul. What do you got in mind? Well, I really enjoy working with executives. You all can delegate. You have no trouble making decisions. You're decisive, and you understand risk. All right?
Okay.
Do you know anybody in that category that I should be talking with? Well, let's see. I'm not thinking of any. Nobody comes to mind right now. Well, thanks for thinking about it. Just know I'm never too busy to help people like you. So the best way to get a quick way to grow is by looking at the niches. You have retirees, right?
Yeah, that was the next thing I was thinking was would sound better coming out. Do you know anybody else retired like you? You know?
You got to find three reasons. that you like dealing with them. You don't just say, I know you're retired, you know any other retirees. That's in our opinion, that's not very smooth. So, Ms. Jones, do you have a minute to give me some advice? I'd love to give you advice. Paul, what do you need? Well, I really enjoy dealing with retirees. You all are three reasons. Do you know anyone in any other retirees who I should be talking with, or I could help, or whatever?
That would benefit from a relationship like ours.
Yes. Yeah. Now you're putting our ideas in your words. That's the most powerful thing of all. So, again, this is you can tag this on to a meeting. It can be a call on its own. It could be on one of your monthly update calls. So you got executives, but executives know other executives. Retirees know other retirees. If everybody, if you said you have 20 to 30 executives, you know, if half of those people gave you a good referral, you know, that's 12 or 13 appointments right there. You got it?
Yeah.
Pretty simple, isn't it? It's not.
Yeah, I mean, I'm getting my enthusiasm back and my confidence back with all this. This is good.
Well, if you were going to have a great day, something just in this business, and it could be somebody you've been after for a long time has called you and said they want to transfer to you, you do a big piece of business, whatever, when in the day would you want that to happen?
In the morning.
Why?
Because that's when I'm at my best. I think, like, between 9 and 12, my brain is at its optimum time.
Well, you know yourself. The other reason is because when something good happens, you get energy. And people can feel your energy, Paul. I can remember one call we had, two or three weeks ago, and I don't remember what was going on, but you had other stuff I could just sense it, that you weren't working with a lot of energy at that time. Clients and prospects can feel it too. So enthusiasm is really, really important. There is a book, and I don't have a copy of it here to give you the exact title. Do you read much?
Yeah, I used to read all the time.
Okay, I'm gonna send you the.
Before I had my third child, yeah, I used to do a lot of things.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. So I'm gonna after this call, I'm gonna send you the name of the book. You can get it on Amazon. It's like $8, and it's really good. It talks about people don't want your time; they want your energy.
Oh yeah, we had to read that. I had to read that.
Jim,
Rob, there was something Rob recommended recently. I downloaded the book on my phone. And I completely forgot that I did so. Let me find it. Dude. There was a book The Power of Full Engagement.
Yeah, the author's Jim Lehrer. And
Jim Lehrer. Is that the one you're talking about?
That's the one I'm talking about. It's a great book.
Downloaded it and forgot I had it.
Yeah, there are two chapters in there that I'd want you to start with. It's a story of a guy who'd lost his energy, And then later in the book, it's the same guy who had gotten his energy back and what had happened. So I'll send you the two chapters that you should start with, because you'll probably be able to see yourself on both sides of that.
And another way of saying this is burnt out. I mean, you know, sometimes I wonder if I'm burnt out.
You're too young to be burnt out.
Yes and no.
If you work with energy, and he talks in there about you got to get enough sleep, you got to exercise, and you got to eat well. And if you do those, you got to do all three of those things, because it's like a three-legged stool. If you take one leg away, it doesn't work very well. So diet, energy, and exercise. It makes a difference. So Rob Knapp took a bunch of us, when we were at Merrill Lynch, down to Jim Lehrer's place in Orlando. He sold it to Johnson & Johnson and made millions of dollars. But he taught us how to eat. He taught us how to exercise. And he taught us how much sleep we needed. So it'd be a good book for you to read. I think it'd help a lot. We've gone past. Anything else?
No, you gave me a lot to think about. Thank you.
Okay. Remember, you can't control results. You can only control your activity. And you get into these things and you start, it just becomes natural to you. Somebody gives you a compliment. Gosh, thank you for saying that. You expand some niches. We'll talk about the enthusiastically endorsed, or COIs, next week. So what I'd ask you to do is to continue to look for VIPSA opportunities. Please log those things in, and then try to have a couple of niche expansion conversations.
Okay.
All right.
Yes, sir.
Okay, we'll talk next week.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks. Bye, Suzanne.
Bye-bye.